תם המלכות, עד שרובדיו לא יקטע עמים, עשו מקור כרצונו. הוא המגזר משיח. אוקיי, זה דיסטל ביחיד, זה זנת חמה כי יקטע. ושום דבר מוכר בין רגליו, עד כי יבוא שילו, ולא יקטע עמים. That's משיח. כאשר יקרוס לדוד שמלך הראשון, אשר לא שבת מלכות, ושילו הוא בנו. זאת אומרת, עד כבו שילו, the way the rabbi interpreted, not until you come to the location of שילו, the city, rather until will come the person named שילו. עד כבו שילו, who is משיח בן דוד. ושילו בנו שלא יקטע עמים, ולא יתאחר, אבי אברהם, נשמע שיש שילו דוד, שלא יודע, שלא יודע שבט קודם דוד, כי אבי ששבטו נכבד עושה בתחילה, אין שבט רק למלך ומושל, כפי שבט משור של מלכותך, השבט מושלים, שבט למשור. כי זה מה צריך להגיד את יהודה שבט applies to the authority of the king or to regal authority and the male this one begins from David because before there was the Melech. Okay. וכתוב הזה רמז כי יעקב המליך שבט יהודה על אחיו ואיש יהודה ממשלה על ישראל. כמו שמה דוד הבחר שמוקי ישראל בי מקום בית דוד עוד מלך ישראל לעולם יהודה בחר ומגיד בית יהודה בית אבי ובני אבי כי אפשר למלך על כל ישראל ואמר לא יסור. Now first of all in the Pesukim right or but differently in the Torah's mitzvot after Matan Torah there's no mention of this right Navi סוד בשביל לך המלך מקרב אחריך לא פחד את לך איש נוכרי מקרב אחריך כמין יזבו נפתלי יסחר גד דן there's no limitation of pasuk necessarily to Yehuda or to Beit David פחד את איש נוכרי presumably means a goy and that's how Chazal interpret regarding Agrippas. And that's a chazal too regarding the question of a ger, whether the ger is kosher of the malchus or not. So there's no pasuk. No, it's if you read Parashat HaMelech in Sefer Shoftim, where the Torah legislates the whole institution of kingdom, there's no mention whatsoever of Shevet Yehuda. Where do you get it? Now, usually you get it in the Nevi'im, like Hashem Baruch Hu chooses David, and there you have many pasukim in the Nevi'im. It stated the fact that David was elected. there are a bunch of psukim like that. You have in Shmuel Bet at the end of Perkov Gimel, you have in Tilim in a few places, like the Tilim, if I remember, Kuf Lamed something, and a bunch of other such sources as well. The Rabban states, Tuzer Maski Yaakov, him lich Shevet Yuda Alechav. Which is the Mishal Israel, the Amar Lo Yasur, the Rmoz, Kimlo Shalchel Israel, Ava, no, it says Lo Yasur, meaning, it doesn't say there will never be another Melech different Shevet, rather, it will never leave Yehuda. So, Binyamin had it before. In other words, Yaakov never promised that there will be king only from Yehuda. He promised once Yehuda becomes king, he will never leave his Shevet. ואת שהחל להיות יהודה שם וכו' יעשו ממנו לשבת אחר. וזהו שנאמר, גשם כי ישראל נתן המחל לדוד הישראל לעולם לא עלו בניו. בעניין שאול היה, כי בעבור שדבש את המלכות בית איתה בצל הקדוש ברוך הוא, צריך להתענה מיישב את השאלו המלכות שלא יעשו ממנו לעולם, נתן להם מלכות שעה, וזה מה זה כתוב שמה, יתן לך מלך הפי ויקח בעברתי, שידו שלא כרצונו, ברצונו מחד כך לקו בעברתו, שנהרגו בלם הסכם על המלכות. Again, skipping here a bit, and if we have time to back this, let's skip it. Lufidati, it's a Shavuot's edition. It's the next page, the third line. Lufidati, you are Melachim, Hamulchim Yisrael, Mishar Hashvatim. אחרי דוד עובים על דעת אביהם ומעבירים נחלה. היו סוכים על דבר אחרי השילוני הנביא שמשך לירבם ואמר וענת זהו דוד למען זאת אך לא כהנים וכאשר הביכו ישראל המליך עליהם נשאר השודים מלך המלך הולכו סביב המלכות יהודה והוא צוות הזקן ונשו בהם כמו שאמר הושע הם המליכו ממני, וזה אנשי חשמונאים, שכו בבית שני, אוקיי. The man claims over here that to appoint the melech not from Shevet Yehuda is a violation of Yaakov Avinu's צוואה, מעבירים נחלה. So it's not a lot. Now, interestingly, if you take the Rambam Sefer Mitzvot, I forgot to bring it. Mitzvot, the Rambam takes actually a bit further. Here begins with the conventional understanding that applies only to non-Jews or Gerim. אמנם המלכות לבד כבר ידעת מספרי הנבואה שזכה בדוד וכן זרוע אחריו עד סוף כל הדורות אין מלך למי שיאמין תורת משה אדון כל הנביאים אלא מזרע שלמה לבד וכל מי שמזולת זה הזרע נכבד למלכות נוכרי קרינה בי כל שכל זרע אחר ותיזהרנו לעניין עבודה זר קרינה בי וזה מבואר אין ספק בו. אין ספק בו is you can argue that for sure. Just like this Rambam says that anyone who's not from Beit David is a Zar. Same way anyone who's not from Zer Aaron is a Zar for Kahuna. If you're not from Beit David you're a Zar from Malchut. But the Rambam actually rises the position that Lokhadit the Ishnochri presumably includes even Shevet Yudah and Nabe David. Now it's not clear whether it sounds like this is only after because Baruch Hu selected them. The law is not take a person who doesn't belong or who is not qualified to be a king, and after the Bechira Beit David, anyone else of Beit David is not qualified anymore. But the Ramban doesn't say it's a lav, and nor does he compare it to the Rambam compared to the Zar as a mamash like by Kehuna. But the Ramban does say that the Melachim have to be from Shevet Yehuda, not Beit David. Shevet Yehuda alone. Yaakov Avinu basically bequeathed the Malchus to Shevet Yehuda, and to do so, you're violating what he calls it Tzavat HaVazakeh. Okay, now let's continue here. I'll get back to this a bit more in a moment. זה העונש החשמונאים שמחו בית שני, יהיו חסידי עליון, אם מלא הם נשתקחו התורה ומצוות מישראל. But it says rightfully so, that basically, it's not for them, חד השום תורה ומצוות would disappear, Hellenism and basically have swept of Am Yisrael like a tidal wave and nothing would be left of Torah ומצוות. כי הוא חסידי עליון, להם השתקעת רם במצוות מישראל. ואף על פי חי נענשו עונש גדול. Now notice, you guys can't say the way Salaski Ramban that the reason the Chashmonim eventually petered out because the later generation sinned. It was the original ones, and when we talk about Chanukah, this is always an important point to remember, that the way we judge historically or religiously the first generation of the Maccabim, then say the way we judge subsequent generations. In other words, the Chevra fighting the Aristotelicism, Hurkanism, and the like, engaged in civil war 100 years later, don't represent necessarily the Jews of the Chashmonaim. And I said, well, why did the Chashmonaim perish? Because later on they were not ra'ud. But so the Ramban is aware that he himself writes somewhat similarly in Vayishlach. So the Ramban here emphasizes even the first generation is a lot of tragedy. V'pichenet sh'onesh gadol ki arba b'nei chashmonai hazakein hachasidim ha-melachim ha-molchim zachar zeh עם כל גבורתם הסלחתם נפלו דבים בחרב. Now he then adds, of course, the subsequent history of the חשמונאים. וגיש בסוף משמו חזל קומן דאמן בייס חשמונאי כעסין עבדהו שנחרטו כולם בעוון הזה. Basically says the reason the חשמונאים were wiped out is because they usurped the Melucha from Shevet Yehuda. The Av Yishevet Zera Shimon Osh Ben Tzeduki. Okay, so the man admits that some of the subsequent Chashmonaim also had other problems. Because Zera Matityahu Chashmonai Tzadik Lo Avdu, I guess, Lo Avru Min Ha'olam Ela Ba'avur Zer Shemalchu V'lo Ayu Mizeh Yudamei David Yisru Hashem Ha'chonek L'gamri. היה עונש מידה כנגד מידה שהמשיר הקדוש ברוך הוא עליהם את עבדיהם והם החריטו. Okay, so first of all, here he's blaming them for basically denying the Malchus to Beis David / Shevet Yehuda and for taking, you know, the problem here is that the Malchus belongs to a particular family or shave it, and they take him what they don't deserve. They have sharp gamkin. Now he has a second point. Shouldn't hate b'malchutam. He's talking about separation of malchut and kuna. In other words, we're suggesting now the problem is not that the king is not from Shevet Yehuda, the Kohanim, it's from Kehuna. Kohanim should not be Melachim. We have to disassociate the secular powers or the secular authority from religious authority or the religious representatives. Now, what Rabban is saying here is follows, that we have to separate here, or essentially the question here is, do we expect a separation between the political and the religious aspects, or do we view us intertwined? You know, the issue that the church dealt with for hundreds of years in the Middle Ages, how do you reconcile the sword and the... And the staff of the religious authority. The Ramban here, and now in Jewish sources, there's not much discussion of this topic. Aleph, it's moot because you have Beit David. Secondly, generally speaking, Jewish political theory or in Chol Melachim are not to develop because, unfortunately, it was not Maisa for most of our history. The Ramban is coming in staying position here that Kohanim should not be involved in Melucha, which put differently, Rabbanim should stay out of politics. That's more or less the statement. What we say here is that even though Malchut is legitimate, and don't forget, Jews believe that the Melech is Moshiach Hashem, right? He's Nimshach Moshiach Mishcha. He's a religious figure. He has, we certainly view the political historical sphere as being legitimate. We view Am Yisrael as wanting to engage in it. The Vi'im constantly engage in this. Eliyahu, Elisha, the like, are deeply involved in the political scenes of their time. Yishayan Yirmiyahu to a certain degree. But the Kohanim, the idea is you have to maintain like a certain, pristine area in which mundane considerations of Olam Hazeh don't enter. In other words, at the end of the day, the assumption is there's nothing wrong, there's nothing illegitimate, there's nothing obscene with politics, if properly practiced. But, nevertheless, the Sunnah notes Kedusha, which really means the meeting of man and God. What's Kedusha? Lifnei Hashem. Kedusha means that man approaches God and converses, dialogues with him, whatever we'll call it, presents himself to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, on the one hand, yes, because Rambam works through history. He steps into our world and engages himself with our world. But on another level, we're supposed to step out of history. In other words, it's like take Shabbat as opposed to the whole week. The whole week, supposed to engage, Kiddush HaChomer, Kiddush HaChol, supposed to engage the world and deal with it. And Shabbat, supposed to take a time out. Like, basically, to step in this zone, which is sterile, all the dirt and all of. Now, at the end of the day, Olam HaZeh has within it, and there are deficiencies. Some of them by definition, because matter is deficient. Some of them because politics assume power. And power, probably means use, it assumes the use of force, it assumes coercion, it may assume having to apply force with prices, a melech has to kill occasionally. Maybe this was also this amount of ego and involved. And now, what's more, we view sphere politics as being positive, but there's a certain spiritual prize. And there are things like the Kuna and the Mikdash, to set aside an area or a zone which doesn't have this contact with the world, with all of its corruption and the like. And politics assume a corrupt world in some form or another. And therefore, Kohanim, if you think about, in the Tibet world, is it desirable for Rabbanim to be involved in politics? So on the one hand, yes, because they have what to say, and they have a spiritual religious perspective of the events. But on the other hand, if you get too involved, you begin to lose your stature. In other words, if you get too involved, both kapichut, also kapichnim, if politics assume power, to play power, which is power politics, and it's based on competition and confrontation and various other elements, even though you want your askan to do that, your chaver knesset or whatever, but the Rav, by entering that, he leaves the spiritual pedestal he's on, and he engages, he gets into the trenches, and there are serious prices to be paid for that. So at times, it's like this, at certain times, maybe we're too disengaged, and in the sense that the political world doesn't belong to the halakha, to religion, may have been the price that was paid then. But you also have the opposite. If you view Rabbanim as being if you have them too engaged because there's religious significance to this, you end up with paying a very strong price in terms of in terms of how both they're perceived and also how I'll leave it to Emma, so you end up paying a serious price because there's something clean, holy, purer, which you have in the world, which is not political, and you cannot preserve that when you enter into the trenches. The moment the Rav Rosh Hashiva becomes a Chavar Knesset, he exposes himself to the rough and tumble world of politics. The moment you take a position as Rosh Hashiva, as a Rav Rosh Hashiva, whatever, you take a position on particular political events, you open yourself up to comments or disagreement and argument from commanders, etc. So Rabban views, Rabban considers the Kohanim to be in the soul, that the Kohanim should be withdrawn. They should withdraw into a world of Kedusha, to a world of Tahara, into a world of no corruption, a world where there's no confrontation and power plays. And by engaging in the trenches, the Rabban thinks, according to the second opinion now, Hashmonaim were violating the kahuna. They were not disobeying Yaakov, but they were violating their kahuna. Vidyo Yishalmi Masechet HaRayot Im Moshchim Lachim Kohanim. Now, this is a beautiful example, and this is what we do mostly in Rambans, which talk about non-halakhic issues. This is a nice example to see Ramban here at work. He makes a claim, and now he backs it up with Yerushalmi and Horios, without perfect Ashut, of course. Because Yerushalmi says, HaRayot, Ein Moshchim Elachim Kohanim, Megiyuda in Turaya. Hashem Asu Shem Yehuda. This is Dr. Ramban's first opinion. The problem with the Melech Kohen is that the Malchut is being taken away from Shevet Yehuda. The man Yerichim Amalchut Bamkev Yisrael Matim Batrei Leokovi Shevet Yehuda Koshevet Yichel Benachai Mechav Hashem Unachlato Yishar Hashem Unachlato Yochei Yehuda. So the Smichut and Dvarim over there, immediately after the Torah talks about the Melechim, it talks about that the Kohanim loyelas kosher levi chel v'nachalayim echad. The man sees they should be otherworldly, should be engaged in affairs of the world, and politics, of course, is affairs of the world. Well, the fichach af al pi. So you know, him melb shashvati fitzoch hasha'ah ein moshchim otam. Okay, here's a crucial passage. Actually, before I go into this, let me just mention before the Rambam of Moschanik, I think you were pointing this out once also. Certainly, the Rambam is pretty clear also. The Rambam of Moschanik seems to be holding this Rambam. The Rambam talks about the Chiz of Hashmonaim, so one of them is. The Rambam praises here two things. A, he praises the fact that they reestablished the Malchut, even though they're not from Shevet Yehuda, and B, emphasizes, Hemidu Melech Min HaKohanim. Right, so he says, Hemidu Melech Min HaKohanim, and they restored the Melucha for 200 years, or above 200 years, and this is considered part of the crown of achievements. So obviously he doesn't see a problem with Kohanim becoming Melachim. He seems to view the whole story as being much more positive. So he says you have a very basic machloket whether it's a good idea for Kohanim to be Melech or not. Okay, now let's go to Rashi line here. The Ramban, is addressing the following question. Before he spoke about Shaul, how do you have a Melech who's not from Shevet Yehudah, because Baruch appointed him? Right? It's not that Shaul grabbed him. He was appointed by the Kadosh Baruch Hu, by the Navi. So how can you? So before he addressed the question of Shaul, now he says as follows. He doesn't deny the legitimacy of appointing a king ad hoc if there's a need. Said the Shaul, maybe other people. Aval ein moshchim otam. Then hold on. Okay, let me get cut to the chase. Essentially, you have by Malchut two halachot. It's by Kohen as well. You have the Kohen for the functional purpose of Avoda. You have the personal status. For instance, a Kohen, what about a Kohen who no longer, a retired Kohen, called the Gemara Mashoch She'ava? What are the halachot? So you have this Bryce and Yomad of Afan Gimel, which is also. That Kohen, certain things apply to Kohen HaOved, only Kohen is actually on duty, and he's on call. Others apply to Mashuach Shavar as well. This one was about Kohen Gadol, because Kohen Gadol HaOved, Kohen Gadol Mashuach Shavar. My Nafkamina. And the nafkamina is as follows, that certain halachot apply to the Kedushas HaGavra, his personal status, his personal elevation. Others apply to the office of Kohen Gadol. With the Kohen Gadol does, simply as the senior Kohen in the Mikdash, the person who has the authority, and the Kedusha to confer certain avodos. So whatever relates to the Gavra, that Mashiach Shavar has as well. By the way, umadzo, whatever relates to the avoda itself, that already is there is only kohen ha'ovid. The Rabban has a similar idea, by the way, in Parashat Shmini by Elazar v'Itamar. The Rabban wants to know over there, how can what's their status regarding Tumas Kohanim? He suggests that since they were nimshach b'shana mishcha, that they were like a kohen gadol. In other words, that even though they weren't kohanim gadol in terms of the function, the ma'aseh avoda, they were kohanim gadolim in terms of their personal kedusha, because they were also nimshach b'shana mishcha. Now let's skip from kohanim back to melachim. We see a question by a melech. You've all kinds of halachot by melech, right? That he, you know, loyabelo nashim, loyabelo susi, because it was under loyabelo sefer Torah, moed malchus, and so on and so forth. Which halachot apply to the king as performing the function as a king, which we're doing as a ruler, as a sovereign? Which applied to him because of his personal status. And don't forget, the king is also Moshuk Shana Mishra. Now, you have in one level, there's a question here, Bichlal, whether it's Kedusha to a Melech or not. Does Melech enjoy any unique personal status? Or Melech is only functionary? If you look, for instance, in Sefer Chinuch, or in the Marnevuchim, describe the whole need to appoint a melech in very utilitarian terms. And there's no central authority, there's anarchy, like in Iraq, or other such places. And therefore, the business of a melech is only basically for utilitarian purposes. That's the Chinuch, and basically, it's fine to fix this with the Rambam in the Moreh. The others think differently, that the Melech has a personal status, and if you think something about the Chol, certainly seem to apply that. Besides from the Shikha, you can talk about any Shira Bazar El Machabez Dovid Bilvad. Much Machabez David have now Tosfos and Sota, and I think it's entirely convincing that Kal Vachomer for a Kohen Gadol. The Melech is in Azor and Sota Kohen Gadol. The point is that the Kohen Gadol and the Melech are at home in the Mikdash because they're Kedusha. Unlike others, Gulat and that little Kedusha. B'chol Mikre, to get back not to Melech. There's a famous statement of Shulchan Aruch Kook, and I think if you analyze it, who's a piece of evidence? Then you have to take the halachot and dissect them, which apply to the melech as the authority, the political authority, which apply to him because of his personal status. And you can have, you can have a retired king. Right? You can have, I've got this before, you got the Kohen Gadol who lacks the personal status. It's one of the desires of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu performed the action, and there was a subject there whether he used to be the kahuna or not in Shesh Mami Lui. Why? The subject is the Bidei Kahuna apply to the Kedusha of the Gavra, or they apply to the office, to the function, in which case Moshe Rabbeinu should have Bidei Kahuna. But since the word there seems to assume that Bidei Kahuna applied to the Kohen B'Gav, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu Gemara says they did not use B'dei Kohuna. Nasim Malchut. And here there's a beautiful passage in the Parshas Drachim. Parshas Drachim is the Sefer Mishnah Melech wrote of Jewish. It's very halachic Jewish, or a good deal is halachic. If you go to the library, you look at the Parshas Drachim, or at my house and ask me for the book. It's called Parshas Drachim by the Mishnah Melech. He has two drashoti which deal with the episodes of Yisrael and Malachi. What he sees there really is a debate regarding the Malchus. It begins like this. If I remember, he quotes Gemara Megillah. Gemara Megillah is really relevant. I think he quotes it also. But Gemara Megillah says as follows, that David wanted to kill Nabal HaKarmeli, right? And Abigail met him. I remember the story. David comes up, goes up the mountain to kill Abigail. Excuse me, to kill Nabal. Abigail meets him, and she convinces him not to kill David. Excuse me, not to kill Nabal. And 10 days later, right, he said, "Me, go for Shem and Nabal Karmeli," because Baruch did instead. Remember Gilah reconstructs the exchange that David and Abigail had. It's like this. She said to Mat Pitom, "You're going to kill him." You know? She said, "More of a Malchus." So she said to him, "Adain lo yatsa tivacha ba'olam." Tivacha can mean either your teva, but most probably means your impression, meaning a matabea. Right, you know, to impress a coin, and coinage is a symbol of a symbol of a monarchy and ruling. And with all the coins from the reign of King X, Y, and so on. Now, how's the Mishnah Melech reconstructed? He said like this. The argument was that this chakira. David, at that point, was Mashuach Hashem and Mishra. But Shaul was still the king. So the way it turns is like this. David said Morbid Malchus. David thought Morbid Malchus had to do with the Melech Begavra. So Nabal, basically, Nabal was disrespectful to David. Nabal denied David's status as the king of the Kedusha. David says Morbid Malchus. She said, Adana Sativa Chabalah, meaning it's a halacha not regarding the personal status, not the Mamad Ishi, but rather Mordechai Malchus is about the anarchy in the world. Mordechai Malchus has to do with who's actually ruling, not who has the Kedusha, but rather who has the actual Tachlis, who's running the country. And therefore, now Yehoshua Bin Nun is the source of Mordechai Malchus, right? Kol Shemet Picha, Kol Shetzavim Yumat, Pesuk in Yehoshua. Yeshua Ben Nun may not have a Kedushas Malchus, he was there with Nimshach, but he was the actual ruler. The person who's actually ruling is the Melech. In other words, when Malchus applies to it's denial of authority of the king, or of the political authority, let's say like that. And now, that's what Abigail thought, and in this debate, she went, David agreed. Then the Mishnah tries to exchange. Maybe David agreed to that, just he thought that he had some kind of role because he was working for Shaul as some kind of Mfaked Sayeret at the time. So therefore, he also had some kind of expression of Malchut Beforah. But at any rate, that's the way the Mishnah interpreted. He then interprets beautifully Bob Giv Malachi regarding David telling Shlomo to kill Yoav ben Tsruya and all those other chevrei who were part of the revolt against Shlomo / David. The Mishnah interpreted there is the whole episode has to be reconstructed or interpreted based on the premise that they threatened Shlomo's political authority. The fact that they had chutz from the past is irrelevant. And they have to murder Malchus, that they're an actual threat the moment to the Melech. And he interprets the Pesukim, he does a very nice job of doing it. Let me just mention the following also. This basic idea is really two Gemaras, especially in Shalom Horios. Shalom Horios wants to know when Dovi has a golem. When David was the 6 months that David was escaping from Avshalom, what carbon did he bring? If you remember Chatas, so king has unique Chatas. So the king brings the Chatas and everybody else. And an average person, the normal person brings either a Kisbar Sira, and the Navi, and the Melech brings a Sa'ir. Shenasi Echta, the Pavek. So the question there is, what about David when he escaped from Avshalom? She being a Seir or a Seira? Well, she being a carbon of a Melech, carbon of a Hedyot. And what's a Safek? It's the same point. David at that point, the Gavra, he had the Kedushas Malchus, but in terms of his functioning, he wasn't a Melech anymore. He lost the option was in power. He was running away. So that's exactly the same. So if I remember, Yishalmi says that he brought like a hedyot, meaning that Yishalmi determines that the halacha of korban is not based upon the fact that he's more kadosh and everybody's a different korban, rather because power corrupts, so those in power have to bring a different korban. The Torah is more concerned about the corruption of power, and therefore it's a question of who's the actual power, and not a question of what's the greater Kedusha. The Bavli have an inkling of this. The Bavli and Horus, like the Freedom of Beit, wants to know whether the Kotzer, who is it? If I remember, the Nasi of Israel, the Nasi, whatever, asking whether he should bring also the carbon of a Melech. They say to him, you shouldn't because you lack authority because the Rish Galus and Bava has greater authority. Now, it's the same point over there. That the happening was that since the Nasi continued, the representative capacity is, has the Kedusha of the Malchus, he represents based on the, he should bring the Korban because he's a reflection of Kedusha's Malchus. And the Rebbe replies, no, it's a question of authority, and the authority of the Nasi is less than that of Rish Galusa, and therefore he doesn't bring a carbon on the Nasi either. Now you have to go, if you study Hilchos Melachim, you have to take each case, Kismas Avli Arbelo, Sefer Torah, and so on and so forth. Now, this brings me to Rav Kook's observation. Well, I think it's very self-evident, but it's famous in his name. Basically, what you have here is once you begin to talk about the distinction between the personal status of the Melech and his authority, what you're really doing is you're creating a distinction between the Melech as a person, as a persona, and the Malchus. Is the Melech is Malchus. Right? You have government, and you have the king. Right? Take the British model. You have a Melech Begavra, but the whole hierarchy of government and authority is invested in the government. And you have a Malchut and you have a Melech. So, and they're two different things. Right? So, if she was not the head of the Church of England, if she was a Melech Israel, she would not be a Seira. But that's a good example of this like division. Now, Kook comes and says, "Bazman hazeh, all the halachot pertaining to malchus apply to elected government, to the democratically elected government." He says these words because he says that "Bazman hazeh, malchut Israel applies to a government." But I'm saying you have to qualify that, of course, what I said before. All the halachot which apply to the Melech Begavra, of course, do not apply to Netanyahu or Shamir or anybody else like that. All the halachot that apply to the government apply to whatever is. So if you're talking about going to war, the ability to wage war, to tax and the like, or more of a malchus, so that applies to the malchut. If you talk about halachot which apply to the Galat, sitting in the Azara, so Netanyahu cannot sit in the Azor even though he's the Malchut. Because that's to do with the personal Kedusha. Now, this now takes me to the. Let me just now return to the point I made before. The way. As if the Rambam sees the Malchut as being utilitarian. But why do you do it? Because, you know, it's basically to keep the peace. The umadzot, the other perception is presumed that he has this kedusha in the Melech above and beyond the Malchut. Okay, now, do me a favor, take a closer look at this line. Lufichach, afal pishi son akimele melech b'shar shutim k'titzorach hashah. What does this mean? That you need a Malchut, not a Melech. You may be circumstances which require what? Require a malchut, a person from a different shape of position of authority. Ein moshchim oto. He becomes a ruler, but not a melech. Ein moshchim oto, shlo yehelim hod malchut. This is a crucial word. The Rabban thinks like this. The Rabban thinks there's 12 hod in a melech. He's one, the melech, as being, what is the melech as the personal kedusha? This he calls Hod Malchut, the glory of the Malchut. It's the glory that was really derives from the kedushat HaMelech, because it's Mashiach Hashem. That's Hod Malchut. Because you don't need the kedusha. If you need a ruler ad hoc, you don't need moshchim oto. Hold malchut. Ella, come on, shoftim. What's called shoftim? Shoftim you. This is exactly what a shoftim. But essentially, until David was, what was the halachic status of the shoftim of Shimshon, of Yiftach, of Gidon, and all these chevra? What was their status halachically? They were malchut, but not melech. So, moed b'malchus, and these things apply to them. They're shoftim v'shotrim yiyu, this is after the point. They don't have a whole malchut. Gidon, or Yiftach, or Shamgar ben Anat had no personal kedusha, but had the authority of the malchut. So Moshe Malchus goes one way. Now I'll give you the other example, which is another prominent example. It's Enishin b'mel. It says to be Enishin b'mel to only to a melech. Now this is because the melech is kadosh and only he is direct line to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is because only tzorchi tzibur. To take a look at Yomad, if I can give him a bit, you see the back and forth over there and this question also. And this got this the same point. There's a whole malchut. And there is Shoftim B'Shotrim. Now, put your band, the halakhic status of Yeshua Ben Nun and all these other Shoftim is exactly this. Now, the flip side is David running away from Avshalom. That's a Melech without a Malchut. Yiftach and Shimshon are Malchut without Melech. Yeah, okay. Now, and that now presumably now here is the question that I have time to talk about this. Just look at your own later on. That's the question of Shaul. Was Shaul simply another shofet? Meaning, Shaul was another person, position of authority, who lacked kedushat hamelech. No, simply he was improved. He was an improved version of the shoftim, a ruler, position of authority, but without any personal kedusha or. Because he was prior to Beit David, so maybe he really had certain vestiges of Malchut, of Kedushah within him. Take into account also that the Gemara says that he was Nimshach B'Shem and Mishcha, but not B'Shem not excuse me, he was Mashuach B'Shem, but not B'Shem and Mishcha. B'Shem and Farsim, which is a different kind of Shem. It's derived from a different plant and different composition. So that could be indicative of the fact that he has some kind of kedusha, shushan and yiftach and like a not in mashuach, or it could be that because not shana mishcha, that shana mishcha is common to kohanim and melachim. Shal doesn't get shana mishcha. Achronim can find discussion of this, whether Shal was some kind of quasi pseudo kedushat malchut, or simply he was a malchut without any. And he says, go back to Rabban and read what he deliberates here, what should have been, what would have been with Shaul if he hadn't sinned, whatever, what position would they have carved out for him in the scheme? Take a look also to the Ravid in Paragraph of Melachim. If you want to read this whole thing up, I wrote a series in the VBN like 15, 14 years ago. It's Malachim, which deals with all these issues. All these things are dressed up committees later on. Who appoints the king? Who's the appointing body? The Navi, the Sanhedrin, Am Yisrael, can you impeach a king? And so on and so forth. All these questions here, usually have Camino. If you want to read them up over there, I'll just conclude with one final observation. I hope I get it in. The Ramban creates, and knows like this, the way the Ramban has it, you have the functionality of the king, you have the whole Malchut, the Kedusha. The Ramban, in the Mar Nevuchim, or in the Chinuch, everything is functional. And then we should try and less convince about the Ramban. At any rate, so now as follows. What about Basman Hazeh? So Basman Hazeh, should we have a democracy, or should we have a monarchy? If I think the Torah is mandating a monarchy for utilitarian reasons, it's difficult to change. So on the one hand, that was like this. Lack of monarchy, according to Sefer Chinuch, is not a big loss. The only reason you want a king is for utilitarian reasons. Really, if the Torah legislated for these reasons, a monarchy and not a democracy, who are you to change? From the Ramban's perspective, loss of Malchut, the hold Malchut is only based on David. It doesn't apply to other Malachim. So, lacking based David, the loss is much greater. We're lacking hold, Kedusha, etc. But on the other hand, Basman Hazeh, we're lacking Kohanim, we're lacking based Amitrus. Mabuz Beis David, Basman Hazeh, it's one of many other things. We're missing a few other things, such as the Mikdash and the Kahuna and then the Luchas HaBris, etc. So the loss is greater, but the legitimacy of putting into action democracy now is much more legitimate. Because when the Kashbar, when Mashiach will come, so we'll have everything, including a Beis David. But in the meantime, the Torah is interested in the Malchut is only because of the Kedusha. So if there's no Kedusha, you can choose other systems as well. If the Torah is interested for utilitarian reasons, you can't change the Torah's mind. If the Torah is saying you choose it for Kedusha, and that is Basman Hazeh, that's disappeared. So it's, you have to choose a Shofet, you have to choose an autocrat instead of Melchizedek David. You can choose the democracy as well. So paradoxically, the Ramban's position allows us to justify the democracy, and then you give it, like Rav Kook says, the halachot of the Malchut and not of the Melech. So that's in a nutshell.